We return to that topic of the Alia Expo next month, the 13th to the 14th, if I'm not mistaken. And joining me now on the line is Devon Klein, who many of you will know as the CEO of Telfed, the organization that provides for the integration of South Africans in Israel. And he'll be here next month at the Alia Expo, which is an event designed to help individuals and families explore the opportunities, challenges, and practical steps of moving to Israel. The expo brings together experts, community representatives, and resources under one roof, giving attendees a clear and inspiring picture of what life in Israel can look like. Devon's work ensures that those considering this life-changing step are informed, supported, and inspired every step of the way. Devon, as always, what a pleasure it is to chat with you. Before we go into the Alia Expo itself, just can you give us a sense of what's it like in Israel right now? And then following on from that, at a time like now, would you still encourage people to make Alia?
So we're approaching a very, very, I'd say, decisive day. It's going to be on Sunday. The families of those who have hostages that are still being held in Gaza. We have 50 hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza, and of which 20 of them are alive. And the families have got together and they've organized throughout Israel. On Sunday, the people will be taken to the streets and demonstrating to make sure that this issue is kept foremost in people's minds. So that's certainly a main topic of discussion in Israel, making sure that no one forgets that we have brethren that are suffering terribly at the hands of Hamas in Gaza. Regarding whether this is the time to come to Israel, so there's some interesting statistics regarding Aliyah. Because for the last almost 2 years of South African Aliyah to Israel, the demographics have changed. The majority of our Olim from South Africa are young, single people under the age of 40. For this year, that accounts for 70% of our Aliyah, 7-0. So you can see that this has changed because of what you asked, Paula. You said, is this a time to come to Israel? So families with kids have been thinking about it and saying it's difficult to bring a family with children to a country that's at war. For people that are single, younger people, it's a lot easier for them. They're more mobile. If there's a siren that goes off and you have to go to a safe room, it's easier for a single person to have to do that than to gather up children and move them to a safe room if a siren goes off. So there's been an impact on the type of Aliyah from South Africa to Israel. But my answer to you is a unequivocal yes. It's still a time to come to Israel, whether you're single or whether you're a family. Even though we're in a war zone, if you come to Israel, you come to a place that has a safe room, you can be safe. It's more challenging to make Aliyah during this time, but it's still a good time to make Aliyah.
Devon, why do you think that demographic from the South African Aliyah changed? And I'm assuming that in years gone past, it was an older age that came to Israel from South Africa, correct?
So in years gone past, the majority of Aliyah were families with children. That was always the majority of our Olim. And now the majority of our Olim are singles under the age of 40. The reason for that change is because it's easier to make a move when you're single. You have less responsibility. It is a big responsibility for a family to come and to bring children into a situation where the country is at war. But it's still happening. It's just no longer the majority of our Olim. And the numbers are speaking for themselves. But as I said, it can be done. It's just more challenging.
It's also the other side of the argument that Israel needs people. And if there's any time that you want to show your support to Israel, what better time than coming now? Doron, you mentioned the hostages and that on Sunday, people are taking to the streets so that the hostages are not forgotten. And while you were talking, I was thinking, in a country like Israel, hostages are never going to be forgotten. Is there a sense, though, that these kind of demonstrations will get the government to act faster or to change their mind? Or is it more about people feeling the need to do something?
There are different streams in the movement that is bringing all these people together on Sunday. There's certainly a worry in Israel that because the government has decided that since they can't get the hostages out from Hamas, that they need to go in and take over the entire Gaza Strip, that this is going to endanger the lives of the hostages because fighting is going to be taking place above their heads and they're under the ground in the tunnels of Hamas. So there's certainly a worry amongst people that this is going to endanger the lives of the hostages, and that's one stream. Another stream is saying that, yes, that if you're prepared to go in and take over all of Gaza, then it means that you're actually forgetting the hostages and you're not making them a priority. And then there's others that saying the whole world has to look and realize when we walk out there and there's going to be so many people taking off time from work to go out in the streets and demonstrate, that the world has to wake up and see that not only talking about the suffering that the people in Gaza are going through because of what Hamas has done and brought upon them, but don't forget the suffering of our hostages. So there's a number of approaches here, and they all come together in these demonstrations that are going to take place on Sunday.
One of the questions that a lot of New Orleans would have would be, what are the chances of getting a job? Is the job market more difficult now because of the fact that Israel is in this war, or is it as competitive and as possible to get a job as it has been before?
Unemployment in Israel is still very low. And although people did lose jobs, the jobs changed. Different opportunities opened. So if we could take, for example, look at the hotel and the hospitality sphere in industry, yes, industry in Israel, and say, well, what could happen to that during a war? Obviously, there's less tourists. Yes, but instead of the tourists, there are people who had to move out of their homes and were evacuated, and they moved into the hotels. You say, well, what happened to people? Entertainment. Were people interested in entertainment? Ah, but we needed to entertain the people that had been evacuated and raise their spirits. So even though we are in a war situation and people did lose their jobs, people adapted and different jobs appeared to take their place. So when we look at the unemployment percentage in Israel, you're still looking at single digits of less than 5% unemployment in a country that's at war. Quite amazing.
We've been chatting over this week and last week and the previous weeks as well with different people coming out to South Africa for the expo. And there's different projects that they have mentioned, initiatives for South African doctors and assistance for students, and then assistance for people under the age of 30 to be able to go and learn at universities. You're right at the forefront of particularly Southern Africans making Aliyah. What, in your experience, is the number one problem or the biggest challenge that faces South Africans making Aliyah, and what advice would you give to people thinking about it in terms of how to overcome that?
I think the most important advice is to learn Hebrew.
Can I pretend I never heard that?
You can attest to that, yes, yourself, right? You can attest to that. It's essential. Essential to learn Hebrew. You come into a country where that is the language, and you need to be able to speak Hebrew in order to succeed. Now, it's true, there are jobs in English, but even when you get a job in English, you want to know what the people are talking about, around lunch, and you want to be in the room where before the official meeting that takes place in English and people are chatting in Hebrew. And there's a lot of jobs out there that you cannot get unless you have a level of Hebrew. So my advice to people that are considering Aliyah is immediately to start working on their Hebrew. When you open an Aliyah file, you can get a code from the Israel Center. It enables you to study Hebrew at Ulpan online. And make sure that there's so many opportunities online and through your cell phone and on the internet. Make sure a day does not go by that you not improved your Hebrew vocabulary. That's the most important preparation that one can do before making Aliyah.
Davon, you've been based both in South Africa and in Israel and on opposite sides of the whole Aliyah experience. What should someone be doing in South Africa? So, for example, you could go to the expo if you can explain why that is quite a good place for someone to get all this information. And then once they get to Israel, what is the support that they can expect and they will get from your organization, from Telford?
So I recommend going to the expo because you'll be able to meet with the experts face-to-face. It's not through Zoom. It's not through emails. It's not over thousands of kilometers. You can sit there face-to-face and talk to so many experts from Israel on so many different aspects that deal with Aliyah. So it's an opportunity not to be missed. When people arrive in Israel, first of all, from Telford's perspective, we have a pre-Aliyah advisor. She's a psychologist. Because people will say, hey, are you crazy making Aliyah? Well, if you think you're crazy, talk to a psychologist. That's Dr. Sarah Berman. Dr. Sarah Berman will be at the expo, and you can talk to her. And she will check with you if your integration plan makes sense. Is this a good idea? Is your plan really the best way forward for you? Then when people arrive in Israel, we have a representative at the airport. His name's Avraham. And between 6 in the morning and midnight, he's there. And he takes the person through the process at the airport in English. So you have someone dealing with you on the ground, helping you with the bureaucracy at the airport. And then we have a full-time integration counselor. We have a full-time employment counselor. We give out 500 scholarships every year to students to make sure that you'll be educated. We also have a safety net. We support 400 needy South Africans every month. Telford is the safety net for South Africans in Israel. It's 2.6 million shekels a year of financial aid and 2.5 million shekels a year of scholarships. And then you also have housing. We're the only Olé organization in Israel that provides housing. There's 105 apartments, 30 in Ranana and 75 in Tel Aviv, subsidized rental apartments. And there's over 100 events every year. That's 2 events a week, bringing new Olim and veteran Olim together to strengthen one another, learn about Israel, and be involved in practical and purposeful and enjoyable events. So I'll just give you an example. We're going to be packing 460 pencil boxes with our volunteers. And why 460 pencil boxes? Because there are 460 grade 1 kids that are going into grade 1 who live in the Western Negev, the towns around the Gaza envelope. And Telford's brought all its volunteers together to pack pencil boxes to every grade 1 kid in the Gaza envelope, right in the Western Negev, will have a pencil box with crayons and cookies and highlighters to take with the school. So there is a wonderful example of an event with purpose. Packing with purpose. So these are just a taste of some of the things that wait for you once you've made Aliyah.
And then, Davon, I was just looking at the Telford site and I see that you ran art classes for children as a way of dealing with the anxiety of the current war. You've also been giving gifts to lone soldiers who are soldiers who come to Israel without family, and that you recently held a breakfast for South African and Australian moms and wives of IDF soldiers that are currently serving. So Telford's very much involved in the broader fabric of Israeli society. And I know you also cater not just to new Olim from South Africa, but from Southern Africa. Are there still Olim coming from other countries in the south of Africa?
Yes, not that many, because the communities in Southern Africa are not very large, the Jewish communities. I myself grew up in Bulawayo, so I can be counted as a Southern African. So there's still a few, right, that come from Southern Africa, but certainly the majority of our Olim are from South Africa. And for the last 15 years, Telfed's also been dealing with the integration of the Australian Olim. And quite a lot of those Australian Olim have got South African lineage. Either they're the South Africans themselves, who've come home the long way around via Australia, or they're children of South Africans. So it was natural when the Australian Zionist Federation was looking for an organization that would help with the integration of their Olim, that they turn to Telfed, and they actually pay Telfed for the integration of the Australian Olim, and we're very happy with that partnership that's almost 15 years strong. But nevertheless, the majority of our Olim are from South Africa.
And one last question. Are you going to be in South Africa during the expo, which is from the 14th to the 15th of September? And how can a person make the most of the expo? Should they contact you beforehand? Do they come to the expo and then set up arrangements and meetings with people? What's your advice for someone who's been part of these expos for years?
So the expo is run by the Israel Center, Johannesburg and Cape Town. And there's a link to sign up. And everyone should sign up and prepare before. Don't just pitch up. Make sure you make an appointment to see the experts that you want to see. As I said before, the Telfed representative will be Dr. Sarah Berman, our pre-Aliyah advisor and the psychologist. She'll be representing Telfed at the expo this year. But there'll be so many experts there and so many people that will enable you to make an informed decision about making Aliyah, coming to Israel, where's the best place to live, when should you come, which schools for your kids, which city is best for you. This is the time. And it's such a wonderful opportunity that's been laid before you. Don't let it pass you by.
Doron Klein, the CEO of Telfed, thank you so much for weighing in, and a reminder to everyone that the South African Aliyah Expo, as Doron said, is being hosted by the Israel Center. It will be from the 14th to the 15th of September, offering expert advice on everything from immigration paperwork to community absorption. So if you're thinking about making Aliyah or just want clarity, community and peace of mind, this is the event to attend. For more information, you can visit the Israel Center or your local synagogue. And they also have a strong media, a social media presence. So you can also go to their Facebook page and lots of information there. Dvorm, thanks so much. It's always so nice chatting with you. And that brings us to the end of today's show. I'll be back tomorrow, the same time, same place. And we have AI George, who'll be up in about a minute with the news updates. We have some interesting guests, I should say, that we've lined up for tomorrow. A lot who couldn't make it during the week, but who are available tomorrow, and will be focused very much on what's happening in Israel and the Middle East. I'd love to hear from you. I always love hearing from you. That WhatsApp number again is 061-895-1019. And my email, as always, is paula@highfm.com. Have a lovely evening. Be safe. And let's chat again tomorrow.